Sierra Hull is well known to everybody out there in the bluegrass world, certainly. He's been working very hard on a brand new album just came out called Weighted Mind. And we're so happy to have a chance to chat with her about the effort, about the thought. It's such a remarkable album. It's immediately leapt to the top of the Billboard charts in bluegrass, of which she's very modest, which is typical, I think, of Sierra, if you know anything about her. Top of the hour, we're going to hear from Sierra. We're going to talk to her about how that album came to be and what she was thinking as she went through the process of the several years involved in putting it together. And she's being well rewarded for that effort, produced by Bela Fleck. So you know there was a lot of good thought going into that entire process. Well, I'm really happy to welcome to Unreal Bluegrass Sierra Hull. How are you, Sierra?
Hey, good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's good to chat with you. It's been a long time since I've seen you in person. And,
I know. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Good to chat with you.
Yeah. So I wanted to thank you for the time. I wanted to talk about this the new album, Weighted Mind, which I guess came out in 2015. Here we are, 2016. Did it come out last year?
It actually came out January 29th
of
2016.
All right.
So, yeah.
So very new. All right.
Yeah, very new.
The name of the album is Weighted Mind, and I will tell you this now before the audience, the listeners hear this interview, I will have started the show off with the title cut. So we will have already talked about Weighted Mind before you even get to speak about the album. So they'll have a taste of that with the title cut, which I just particularly enjoy that song, and I thought, well, I would play that early on. But I want to talk about the album. You spent a lot of time putting this together, which I think is an interesting, because there's things about this album that intrigue me, not just the great music and the singing and the arrangements, but there are things about the album. But I know that you spent, let's tell the audience from your point of view, this project was a vision for many years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, ideally I wouldn't have waited 5 years between albums to put the next one out, but it just kind of worked out that way. I had been writing a bunch, you know, since the last album, Daybreak, came out, and about 2.5 years or so after that album came out, I went into the studio and took some of the songs I had written, and I knew just because of, you know, the style in which the songs seemed to lend themselves to, that it wasn't necessarily going to be a straight-ahead bluegrass project, regardless, but I went into the studio and recorded 6 tracks, producing myself here in Nashville in a really cool live setting with actually more instrumentation than I had had on my previous albums. I had a little bit of drums on there, a little bit of electric, and it was quite different, you know, already from what I had done on, say, Daybreak or Secrets,
mm-hmm.
but then I just felt like something about it wasn't quite right. Things weren't quite coming together in a way that felt whole yet. And so I decided to just kind of get away from it for a while, and I ended up scrapping the whole project and getting a little frustrated, as one does sometimes when in the creative process. And then finally, you know, after taking some time away from it, decided that rather than produce myself, I really thought it would be cool to have a producer, and that's when I decided to ask Bela Fleck if he would be interested in working with me. And so then from there, we just kind of started building on the concept of taking some of these songs, but rather than having so much instrumentation on them, taking them and really stripping them down
right.
so that the songs could really shine through.
Well, and you made a great choice asking Bela to be involved in that, because I don't know of anybody that's had more experience in the bluegrass field and beyond and figuring out how to approach music from an artist that might be just peeking around, you know, the edges of it and maybe using bluegrass as a base. And certainly Bela's done that on so many levels, but he must have brought so much insight to you. I will bet you that, of course I know you know him well, but I will bet you that he was able to figure out what you were really looking for and help guide you toward that sound. As you said, you had recorded some more fully produced things, and you go to Bela, and he probably instantly was able to tell you what you really wanted to get accomplished.
Well, yeah, and I think one of the biggest things that he brought to the table is just simply, you know, asking me to play for him solo, just, to, you know, with mandolin and voice, something that I hadn't done very much. I'd always played in a, you know, 4 or 5-piece band that was with that, you know, more bluegrass instrumentation backing me. And so to just sit there and play a song I had written, just mandolin and voice, and think about, well, what if that was all there was? Then how would I approach the way I play the mandolin or sing? Or, you know, my role instantly changes as a musician when there's less people. And so having him, you know, say, why don't you try that and let me hear what that sounds like, and then having him say, see, I think that's neat. Then I'd never thought just mandolin and voice, at least for myself. I mean, there's certainly others that can do it and accomplish it really well, but I had never thought for my own music that would be enough. But to have someone like him say, I think that's, you know, I think that should be the foundation, because, you know, you take everything away and all that's left is you. So it's a good way to kind of figure out what you are with no other influence but just yourself, really.
You also get to, I mean, interrupt you, but don't you also get to recognize that with you and a mandolin, so your voice and your mandolin playing, although there's more space available because there's not a combo around you necessarily, but you also recognize that you don't have to fill every space. And I bet you that was a part of the exercise that Bela was putting you through, was let's let the song and the music breathe a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the cool thing about just having one, maybe two instruments on a track, is that there's so much room to breathe. There's room to insert things, but, you know, definitely room for the lyrics to really shine through, which I think he realized right away that lyrically this was an album I felt close to. You know, this set of songs, it would be an album that, you know, lyrically needed to be in the forefront. So, you know, definitely having less instrumentation helped it feel like that it could really be about the songs and what these songs were about.
And it is, and the album title was Weighted Mind. And it is, they are weighty subjects that you're working your way through on this album. You agree with that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think a big theme of the album was, for me, trying to figure out what I wanted to do next. I mean, some of these songs really, I mean, when I said I went in and recorded six tracks before going through an even more frustrating period, the songs Weighted Mind, Wings of the Dawn, Compass, What Became Stranded, and Seems Like Something Else, I'll Be Fine.
Mm-hmm.
All those songs I recorded prior to even, like, working with Bela. But then there was, you know, other songs that were built off of, you know, already feeling like I wasn't sure, you know, the doubt and uncertainty that you sometimes experience in life. And, you know, having all these emotions and things that I had written about. And then to go through sort of this dark period of starting this record and scrapping it and having all that doubt and everything just pile up even more, I think it caused me to even write other songs like Choices and Changes or In Between. You know, I really felt kind of stuck in between this place of knowing I was eventually going to sort of see the light and know what needed to happen next, but kind of being unsure. So I think even through going through that, I was already writing about a few weighted subjects, but then going through that period, you know, helped me to write even more.
Well, you mentioned the in-between and the opening cut, Stranded. In both of those tunes, you referenced at the time your age of 22. You're not 22 now, but at the time, and I assume you're in the lyrics, you're talking about being 22 because you want to put some perspective on what you're looking at as far as the songs. And it's important to you that as someone who's 22, you're taking these looks around backward and forward is what I think, and more what your journey is going to be. But you actually referenced the age in both of those songs, which I found kind of interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I felt like, you know, it was important for me to write in such a way that, you know, every album sort of documents this point in time. Like, obviously, this, you know, Lord willing, isn't the last album I'll do. And you know, who knows what the theme of the next album will be and the, you know, whatever point in life I'm in at that time. But definitely from the age to, you know, when Daybreak came out, I was 19, I think, but had recorded the album around the age of 18. And so if you really think about it from, you know, definitely 19 on to like 21, 22, 23, that's a sort of a time period, at least in my life, that was a lot of things were changing, you know, really coming into adulthood and what that means and, you know, questioning a lot of things and just trying to figure out, you know, trying to keep your feet on the ground kind of thing. So,
here's a question I have for you about, because, I mean, so many of us, I certainly knew of you when you were very, very young and through that whole period, and you were almost immediately launched into everybody's eyesight and ear sight because of the talent that you had and displayed and your ability to perform. Here's a question from very early on until you get to this point where you're stopping to say, I'm 22, and within the tech context of Weighted Mind, the album, those two songs, you're 22 years old. Do you think at 22 you were an older 22 because of your experience, or do you feel like maybe you were a younger 22 because that whole portion of your life that was immediately put in front of everyone, or maybe a combination of both? I cannot relate to this because of your life experience, but I just was curious if you felt at 22 that certainly your world experiences were far beyond most 22-year-olds, but did you feel like there were parts of your life that were younger as a 22-year-old?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I don't know that I've ever not felt a little older than what I really am. I think, you know, I've just always felt like an old soul, like you say. I think just because I started so young and had a lot of experiences that, you know, maybe I wouldn't have had otherwise at different ages throughout my life, but I've always felt a little bit older, but at the same time, there's still plenty of things that I think there's that, you know, the normal growing pains that anybody goes through within that age, you know, bracket.
Yeah,
coming into adulthood.
Right, and I think 22 is a perfect, I keep referencing that age only because you do, but I think 22 is a perfect age to experience that for anyone. I was just curious with your, and you've explained it, with your experience leading up to that, whether it was different for somebody like me that was just, you know, a regular human being becoming 22 years old. And I think what you're telling me is it's pretty much the same. It's just that you had a different, your perspective and your vision of what you were doing was maybe informed by your experience in the world and the music that got you there.
Well, and at the same time, you know, I've always felt older in some ways than I really am. There's still that constant reminder of, like, my age has never been a secret to anybody. I mean, it's always been about, like, 10-year-olds hear a hole, and then it was 15-year-olds hear a hole, and now it's 24-year-olds hear a hole.
Well,
you know, everybody always represents that age.
I know.
Has my whole life. And so I think there's that part of, even though I felt a little older, also realizing that a lot of people maybe still thought of me as being the age of my last album.
Right.
Maybe they didn't know what I was doing, you know, and so, and which is natural, you know, a natural thing, but also like me feeling like, you know, just trying to show people that, hey, I am coming into this place in my life where I'm not necessarily the young kid that so many people have sort of watched for years.
And that's a good point. And honestly, I don't even want to reference, and I only brought the age up because it's specifically mentioned in two songs. I mean, everybody knows, and I actually thought about it. Kind of must get a little bit irritating to get that constant reference to, I saw you when you were this big and stuff like that. I mean, because,
you know what? It doesn't bother me at all because it's just part of the, part of the gig. Like, I never, if somebody says, I've been watching you since you were, like, I always appreciate that. Like, man, like, and here's this person that came out to my concert, you know, all these years later, and they're still hanging in there with me. So that never bothers me.
Okay,
at
well,
all.
Good, good.
But right. I do think, you know, that naturally people can sometimes make their mind up thinking that they know who you are, even when you don't know who you are. That was kind of what was going on with me for a little while. Like, oh, and maybe how much of me is being me because that's what I think I am, or am I just being what I think others expect me to be?
See, now, you have perfectly stated the dilemma that I had even talking about the topic. You perfectly, that's exactly what I wanted you to say, because I kind of felt that's what the experience was like without having a frame of reference. But you have perfectly stated what I think is relevant to that whole issue, and that's wonderfully done. Wonderfully done. You mentioned about Lullaby, the song in Lullaby. You actually say something about you know, you're too old for lullabies, but the meaning of it is it still would be kind of nice to hear some. I mean, in other words, you're recognizing that as you get into the older, not older, jeepers criminy, you're not old at all, but in reference to maybe from a younger child that might have a lullaby sung by a parent to them. You know, you're maybe too old for them, but it's still okay to hear them every once in a while, is what I got from the song.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, too, like, you know, that song in particular is kind of about, you know, missing your mom and and how the natural things of growing up, and you're not that little kid anymore. You know exactly what you were saying there. Sure. But at the same time, you know, I'm not sure. There's some things in life I'm not sure you ever outgrow. And,
no.
You know, feeling that way.
No, no.
And say your mom or something like that.
No, you never should. No, you shouldn't. Yeah. You don't, and you shouldn't. The Wings of the Dawn, I hear it as, I hear Wings of the Dawn as a prayer.
It's a psalm, actually.
Yeah, okay,
it's
good.
Definitely inspired by a psalm.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Without being, okay, good. Well, then I should have recognized it was a psalm, word for word, but I didn't. But I kept thinking, well, this sounds like what you're...
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily word for word, but there are, you know, definitely pieces out of there that are put together to create the psalm.
Okay, good.
But definitely inspired by it.
Well, there are so many great tunes on this album, and you're playing it, and I like the fact the way you describe what Bela's advice was to strip it back down, because it leaves you plenty of room to for everyone to experience and hear the lyrics fully, and you also get to, you know, maybe express yourself more fully through the vocal, because your singing is just so spot on to this whole thing.
Well, I really appreciate that.
Throughout the album, this is clearly... I don't like to be cliche, but this album is recognizing a journey. Let's just put it that way, that you are searching through different things. I don't mean to do all the talking, but I'm trying to summarize it because I don't want you to...
No, I know you're leaving.
You're stranded at one point. You're getting away with or doing away with some guideposts, I think, in your life is evident, and you're looking for others, and it's not a pessimistic view of where you are right now. It's just that you're recognizing throughout these tunes, which I do think are all pretty related. I think there's a definite reason as to why you're doing this, and you're letting people know that, there's points of confusion in everyone's life, regardless of the number age that's involved, and you're still making this journey, and you're dealing with things that happen in life, and it seems to me they all just fit so well together. The whole album is a nice story.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way, because that was definitely the goal, is to have everything, you know, feel like you were hearing the story from the first track to the last, you know, that all the songs could be relatable to one another, and that it would sort of take you on a journey of a point in my life, you know, without feeling like, well, here's this section, and then there's this section, and there's that section.
That's
we definitely
right.
wanted everything to be really relatable and feel like it flowed from track to track.
Without being so obvious, is what you're
right.
saying. In other words, it's not, this is the first half of 19, you know, or 2012. You're,
right,
it's,
right.
It's, yeah, it all blends together well, and I think that is a credit to the effort of your effort and the vision that you had, and I do want to, because I think it's important to you that the influence that Bela Fleck had on helping you find that path that you're going through on this album, I think that's pretty evident.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you know, just to work with somebody like him, I mean, he's been one of my heroes for a really long time. And, I mean, you know, everybody talks about, oh, Bela's the musical genius, and he's, you know, how brilliant. But he's a very, very brilliant and inspiring person to be around.
He's a thoughty guy to hang around.
I don't necessarily just like throw that term around a lot either, but I can honestly say like working with him has been one of the most inspiring, you know, experiences that I've had. And you know, and on top of that, he's like a really good guy, really wonderful person to be around. You know, and that says a lot about what it's like to work with somebody too, because obviously, I mean, it's a much better experience when you're working with somebody that's nice. And
oh yeah, sure. Yeah.
A good person, somebody can be really great.
Yeah.
But you know, he has a good way of being encouraging and has a really strong work ethic too, which I found really inspiring, because I like to work on music, and I like to, you know, especially when it's your own music, it's hard to find somebody that would be willing to go 150% with you, but he's really willing to do that. You know, I realized once that he was committed to working on this project, he was willing to give everything he had to it. So that was really special.
There's some nice musical exchanges between you and Bela on Queen of Hearts Royalty. There's some nice give and take in the last minute. Not the whole thing, but the last minute and a half or so for me as I listen to it. There's just a real nice give and take. Yeah, I like that.
Well,
part.
You know, we had to try to get him on something.
Well, he was there. He was right there.
I'd love to play on the
Queen's one. It works out really well. Well, the we talked before we went on the air. The album's doing really well on the Billboard's Bluegrass chart. That's got to be very encouraging to you. You're up there with Bela and Abby and a couple others. That's rarefied air, I think, where you're traveling right now.
Yeah, it's really encouraging to see people supporting the album and have it do well on a chart like that. I mean, you try not to invest too much thought into stuff like that.
Well,
but,
no.
You know, definitely. You see it, and it's encouraging for sure, and
Sierra,
I appreciate how much people have supported it.
Well, you know, Sierra, if it's good news, you might as well take it.
Hey, I'll take all the good news.
That's right. You deserve it. The album is on Rounder. I haven't mentioned that yet. I looked at your tour schedule as we were getting ready for it, and you get really busy really fast. And I guess behind this album, you're taking on quite a journey yourself as far as where you're going to be playing and where you're going to be traveling to real quick.
Yeah, we've been really busy. The album came out January 29th, and we kind of started our tour on the 28th in Nashville, did an album show there, and then we did, I guess, about 19 shows this past month, a week or so off, and then we get started back up again. And, of course, you know, folks can go to my website, sierrahole.com, or Facebook, and find the tour schedule there, but playing a lot of performing arts centers and theaters right now, and then of course we'll get geared up for festival season pretty soon as well.
Well, I was going to make sure we referenced the website. That's what I was trying to slyly lead into, is to let people know that all these dates are available for viewing on your website, which is pretty easy to access and kind of tells a story about this album also. You can listen to some snippets of it and let everybody know where they can see you. Do you like playing performing arts centers, venues like that?
I really do. I feel like that those are the most controlled environments as far as sound and, you know, being able to go in, have a good sound check and have things, you know, have a nice rug to stand on and things like that. But, you know, so it's not different than like the festival scene. You can have more consistency from night to night, I would say, in a performing arts center theater or whatever, but then you can't at festivals. But then I love festivals too.
Well, sure,
you know, that's when you see all your friends.
Right.
To be inspired by what music other people are making.
Why is it always Oriental rugs in the performing theaters? You ever figure that out?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Something about it. I guess.
Looks good.
We're packing our own these days.
Oh, good for you. Do you have a special? Special
rug.
Your
own rug.
Well, listen, I mentioned to you that at the top of the show, I did play the title cut from Weighted Minds. I think maybe, I know you're very busy, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you request, up as we say goodbye, the audience will hear a tune, and I want you to pick the one that I'm going to play we'll say goodbye, and I'll go right to that tune on the show. Anyone you want from Weighted Minds, we'll do that.
How about Black River? Just because I feel like that track features, you know, everybody that was involved in the album.
Okay.
Ethan Yojevitz and of course, Bela makes a little appearance near the end. And then, you know, we had some harmonies on there by Abigail Washburn, Allison Krauss, and Rhiannon Giddens. So that's kind of a fun track feature.
Oh, those are good names. Well, we'll do that. I'm going to let you go because I know you're awfully busy. I appreciate your time. And after we say goodbye, I will play for the audience Black River from Weighted Minds. Wonderful album. Thanks so much for being available and willing to speak about these things.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show, Steve.
All right.
We'll see you real soon.
I will catch you somewhere, I promise.
Okay, sounds great.
All right, bye-bye. Thank you. Thank you. I think I'm perfectly happy to follow Sierra Hall's musical adventures. That's Black River from Weighted Mind. Thanks so much to Sierra Hall taking the time to a very enlightening and very enjoyable conversation right here on Unreal Bluegrass. She'll be out there. You'll find her somewhere, I guarantee you. Her website, honestly, it's like every night she's somewhere doing that kind of magic that you just heard. Sierra Hall's interview, I say within a week of this broadcast date, will be available to listen to on the UnrealBluegrass.com website, where I store all of these interviews. You can go back and listen. And thanks, Sierra Hall, for your time.